perhaps you could summarize by saying, by telling us, from your point of view, this plan fails strict scrutiny on one or two or both levels. A, because the objective is inappropriate or ill-defined, and B, because of the implementation is defective. Which or both of those are you arguing?
We have argued both. We continue to argue both. It is not a necessary.
And in what respect does this plan fail strict scrutiny under either of those, under both of those categories?
Okay, under the category, the first category, was it a necessary means of pursuing a compelling interest? We don't believe they've shown any necessity for doing what they were doing. And certainly, it race should have been a last resort. It was a first resort. That's, in a nutshell, that prong of it. And in order to, and they failed in every respect. If you go to narrow tailoring, what we're saying is they didn't consider alternatives.
Mr. Garr?
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. For two overriding reasons, the admissions plan before you is constitutional under this Court's precedents. First, it's indistinguishable in terms of how it operates in taking race into account as only one modest factor among many for the individualized considerations of applicants in their totality from plans that this Court has upheld in Grutter and plans that this Court approved in Bakke and the Harvard plan.
I put that in the narrow tailoring category, that it's narrowly tailored the way Grutter did, said. Not the necessity prong and not the need prong, not the necessity prong. I think most of his argument has been centered on that. So
that's right, and so that's the second point I was going to make, which is that the holistic admissions process at issue here is a necessary counterpart to the state's top 10% law and works to offset the systematic drawbacks of that law in achieving an interest that is indisputably compelling, the university's interest in assembling a broadly diverse student body.
Counsel, before I need to figure out exactly what these numbers mean, should someone who is one-quarter Hispanic check the Hispanic box or some different box?
Your Honor, there is a multiracial box. Students check boxes based on their own determination. This is true under the common
Well, I suppose the person who's one-quarter percent Hispanic, his own determination would be on one-quarter percent Hispanic.
Then they would check that box, Your Honor, as is true.
They would check that box. What about one-eighth?
Your Honor, that was they would make that self-determination, Your Honor. If anyone in any part of the application violated some honor code, then that could come out.
Would it violate the honor code for someone who's one-eighth Hispanic and says, I identify as Hispanic, to check the Hispanic box?
I don't think it would, Your Honor. I don't think that issue would be any different than the plan upheld in Grutter or the Harvard plan.
You don't check Milwaukee. In any way the
we
racial
do not,
identification.
And no college in America, the Ivy League's a little.
How do you know you have 15% African American, Hispanic, or 15% minority?
Your Honor, the same way that determination is made in any other situation I'm aware of where race is taken into account.
You say it's the same way. What is that way?
The persons self-identify on that form.
Do they have to self-identify?
They do not, Your Honor. Every year people do not, and many of those applicants are admitted.
And how do they decide? You know, they want not just a critical mass in the school at large, but class by class. How do they figure out that particular classes don't have enough? Where somebody walks in the room and looks them over to see who looks Asian, who looks black, who looks Hispanic? Is that how it's done?
No, Your Honor, and let me try to be clear on this. The university has never asserted a compelling interest in any specific diversity in every single classroom. It simply looked to classroom diversity as one dimension of student body diversity.
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it is either a factor that's validly in this case or it isn't. Now, do they look to individual classroom diversity or not? And if so, how do they decide when classes are diverse?
This Court in Grutter, Your Honor, and maybe the most important thing that was said during the first 30 minutes is when given an opportunity to challenge Grutter, I understood my friend not to ask his court to overrule it. This Court in Grutter recognized the obvious fact that the classroom is one of the most important environments where the educational benefits of diversity are realized, And so the University of Texas, in determining whether or not it had reached a critical mass, looked to the classroom along with
fine. I'm asking how. How did they look to the classroom? Do they require everybody to check a box, or they have somebody figure out, oh, this person looks 1/32nd Hispanic, and that's enough?
They did a study, Your Honor, that took into account the same considerations that they did in discussing the enrollment.
What kind of a study? What kind of a study?
Well, Your Honor, it's in the supplemental joint appendix.
Yeah, it doesn't explain to me how they go about classroom by classroom deciding how many minorities there are.
Your Honor, there are student lists in each classroom.
There are student lists in each classroom that have race identified with students?
No, Your Honor. Of course, each classroom, the university knows which students are taking its classes. And one can then, if you want to gauge diversity in the classrooms, go back and...
Or you go back to what they checked on the form.
Your Honor, this was part of
That's a yes or no question. You go back to what they checked on their application form in deciding whether Economics 201 has a sufficient number of African Americans or Hispanics.
That is information that's available to the university, Your Honor, the race of students if they've checked it on the application. But I do want to be clear on this classroom diversity study. This was only one of many information points that the university looked
at. Well, on the classroom diversity, how does the non-top 10% part of the plan further classroom diversity? Well, my understanding is that the university had over 5,000 classes that qualified as small, and the total number of African Americans and Hispanics who were admitted under the part of the plan that's challenged was just a little over 200. So how can that possibly do more than a tiny, tiny amount to increase classroom diversity?
Well, Your Honor, first, I think that 200 number is erroneous. There have been many more minority candidates in
per class?
No, not on a per-class basis. I think in looking at the classrooms, Your Honor, what the university found was shocking isolation.
How many non-top 10% members of the two minorities at issue here are admitted in each class?
Your Honor, we didn't look specifically at that determination. What we did, in other words, to try to find whether they were holistic admits or percentage admits, we did conclude in 2004, and again, this was before we did the classroom study before the plan at issue was adopted. And at that time, there were no holistic admits taking race into account. And what we concluded was that we simply, if you looked at African Americans, for example, in 90% of the classes of the most common participatory size.
I really don't understand your answer. You know the total number of, let's say, African Americans in an entering class, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you know the total number who were admitted under the top 10% plan?
We do, Your Honor, but again, at the time
that... Subtract A from B, you'll get C, right?
Your Honor, at the time...
What is the value of C per class?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that question, and let me try to explain why the university didn't look specifically to that. Because at the time that the classroom diversity study was conducted, it was before the holistic admissions process at issue here was adopted in 2003-2004. And so that determination wouldn't have been as important as just finding out are African Americans or Hispanics, underrepresented minorities, present at the university in such numbers that we're not experiencing racial isolation in the
class. What is that number? What is the critical mass of African Americans and Hispanics at the university that you are working toward?
Your Honor, we don't have one. And this court in Grutter,
so how are we supposed to tell whether this plan is narrowly tailored to that goal?
To look to the same criteria this court in Grutter. This court in Grutter specifically rejected the notion that you could come up with a fixed percentage.
But does critical mass vary from group to group? Does it vary from state to state?
It certainly is contextual. I think it could vary, Your Honor. I think let me first say that my friends have, throughout this litigation, not in this court, asserted 20% as a critical mass, and that's lumping together different minority groups.
But could you answer my question? What does the University of Texas, think about those questions? Is the critical mass for the University of Texas dependent on the breakdown of the population of Texas?
No. It's not at all. It's looking to the educational benefits of diversity on campus.
What's the bottom line of this case? And you're saying, and I think rightly because of our cases, that you can't set a quota, because that's what our cases say you can't do. So if we're not going to set a quota, what do you think is the standard we apply to make a judgment?
I think the standard you would apply is the one set forth in Grutter, and it comes from Justice Appel's opinion in Bakke, that you would look to whether or not the university reached an environment in which members of underrepresented minorities, African Americans and Hispanics, do not feel like spokespersons for their race, members, an environment where cross-racial understanding is promoted, an environment where the educational benefits of diversity are realized. And the reason why the University of Texas concluded that that environment was not met here, it laid out in several different information points that this court can review.